Welcome to our SQLServer.com podcast on database mirroring. Our speaker is Eric Johnson. Eric is a co-founder of Consortio Services and the primary database technologies consultant. He has delivered numerous SQL Server training classes and webcasts, as well as presentations at national technology conferences. He has presented at Tech Mentor on SQL Server 2005 replication, reporting services, and integration services. He is an active member of the SQL Server community, serving as the president of the Colorado Springs SQL Server Users Group. Okay, Eric, well, can you start by defining database mirroring?
Certainly. Database mirroring, the new technology in SQL Server 2005 that allows you to have a primary database online and then a secondary copy of that database, which is known as the mirror database, up and running at the same time. Any changes that are made to the primary also become applied to the mirror database. In order to set up database mirroring, there are three roles and that a SQL Server can play that we're concerned with. The first is the principal. That is your primary database, the one where the changes are going to be made. The second is the mirror, and that's the secondary database where the changes are sent, so from principal to mirror, how the changes flow. And then third, there's an optional role that a SQL Server can play, and that is what's known as a witness role. And the witness role is responsible for watching the principal and the mirror and allowing you to set up a failover automatically if the principal should fail.
What types of mirroring solutions are available, and which is the most appropriate for high availability?
There are three types of mirroring you can configure: high protection, high availability, and high performance. And I'll talk briefly about what each of those are. With high protection, all the changes that are made on your principal database are made synchronously on the mirror database. So if a client requests that data be inserted, what happens is the data is inserted in both the principal and the mirror, or if one of the two fail, the client's going to receive an error saying that that data could not be inserted. And that's because they want the changes to take place at both servers or not at all. So it's what's known as a two-phased commit in SQL Server. With high protection, there is some overhead involved because the principal server has to talk with the mirror in order to make sure it's up, it's available, and it can also take the transaction at the same time. So if you want to cut that overhead out, the second option is high performance. And with high performance, the changes made on the principal are eventually applied to the mirror sometime later. It's an asynchronous change, and it's high performance because it doesn't require that extra added overhead on the principal server of having to communicate with the mirror. So the data can be changed on the principal. Sometime in the near future, it'll get over to your mirror. Now, that's not a great solution if what you want is high availability, because if you're in an asynchronous kind of a mode, if the principal server, your primary server, fails, then your mirror server, which is meant to be there for failover, won't be up to date, and you'll have lost changes. So that brings in a third option, which is known as high availability. The high availability option is basically the exact same as high protection, except with high availability, it requires that third role we talked about earlier, the witness. That has to be in place, and then it can watch both databases, and if one goes offline, it can fail clients over to, or it doesn't fail the clients over, rather it fails the server processing over and brings the mirror online so it can be accessed. In order for that to happen, there can be a problem where, say, the principal is up, the mirror is up, but for some reason, the witness can only see the mirror, and it can't see the principal. Well, what happens is, in order for the failover to happen, there has to be a quorum of two servers. That is, there has to be an agreement between two servers that the primary is indeed offline. So in that situation I just mentioned, where the witness can see the mirror but not the primary, the witness will begin communication with the mirror and tell it that the primary is down and there should be a failover. But before the failover happens and the mirror is brought online, the mirrored server will check to see if it can communicate with the principal. And if it can communicate with the principal, it will not initiate the failover. So that helps in case you have a network failure where one can't talk to the other. Same holds true if all of a sudden the witness can't talk to any server, then the secondary and the primary box will continue their mirroring relationship, and it'll basically fall back to the high protection mode where the changes are made on both sides, but there will be no automatic failover. So the key difference in high protection and high availability is the mirror to allow you to do the automatic failover. And as the name suggests, the one most available to use for failover in a high availability environment is the high availability mirroring.
Okay. Now, how do you configure clients to work with a mirroring solution?
There are a few options to get clients to work. Mirroring is a solution where the data is on two separate SQL servers, so the client has no automatic way to know where the secondary database resides. So what you can do is, first of all, you can configure each client's connection string with both the name of the principal server and the mirror server, so that if the client can't connect to the principal, it will go ahead and attempt to connect to the mirror. Now, if there's a failure that causes the client to not be able to talk to the principal, but it could talk to the mirror and the principal and the mirror are still talking, a failover will not have occurred. And unless you take extra steps, and in fact, even if you take extra steps, the actual mirror database can't be read. It's basically in a state of recovery, like you're restoring backups to it. So if the client suddenly fails over to that secondary box, but indeed the failover hasn't occurred, it will not be able to connect to the database. So there's no fear of them damaging data on the mirror because they won't be able to connect until a failover has occurred. Now, the downfall of using a connection string solution so that the client knows which servers to connect to is that if you need to change your secondary box over to a different SQL server, that SQL server is likely going to have a different name. So you're going to have all your clients configured to connect to the appropriate primary or principal database, but they will be incorrectly configured for the mirror. So you would then have to go reconfigure all of your clients with the new name of the mirrored server. So to solve that problem, the new drivers with SQL Server 2005 can actually automatically update the clients and tell them the name of the mirrored server. And that happens when the client connects to the primary server. So the client connects in, gets connected, and the server sends back information to the client to say, here is the name of my failover server in case this communication ends. Now, that's great in that you can change your mirror around. You don't have to worry about reconfiguring the clients as long as you don't change the name of your principal server. But the downfall to that is the client doesn't know the name of the mirror until it connects to the principal. So if you're in a situation where your principal has failed and you've brought your mirror online, the client's going to attempt to connect to the principal by name. That will fail, and then it will not only will it not be able to connect to the principal, it won't have the information it needs to connect to the mirrored server. So in that solution, it would have to be a special circumstance and bad timing, but you could have a situation where your clients can't connect to either server because a failure has recently occurred, and you would still have to go ahead and reconfigure them. But those are the two options to get the clients to fail over once the failover has happened on the mirror.
So can you read the data that is stored in the mirror database?
Unfortunately, the way the database is created on the mirror side, I mentioned earlier, it's like it's in a state of restore. So it's like transaction log backups could still be applied to it. And if you've done any work at all with SQL, one thing you'll know is you cannot restore a database or a log if a user's in that database. So that database is inaccessible. It cannot be read. However, there is a new solution in SQL 2005, and I'll explain it very briefly. It's called Database Snapshot. Basically, what it allows you to do is create a snapshot of a specific database at a point in time. When clients connect to the SQL Server, they will see that snapshot as though it were another database. But it is only going to look like the database that it was a snapshot of at the time the snapshot was taken. The way that's done is if the client requests data through the snapshot that has not changed since the time of the snapshot, they're redirected into the primary database to pull that data. As data changes on that primary database, the snapshot records the data before the change is made so that if clients need information, they can pull the data that changed out of the snapshot, but it'll still look as though it did before the change occurred. So you're allowed to make a snapshot of a mirrored database. And by doing that, you can make the data in there available for reading, which allows that secondary server not only to be usable in the event of a failover, but it could be used for reporting, running quick queries, things like that. But just keep in mind that with that snapshot, that data is only going to be as good as the snapshot. So if you take that every day at noon, they run a query at 5 p.m., the data will not reflect any changes that were made between noon and 5 p.m. So other than that, the mirror is completely unreadable, and it will only be brought online and readable in the event of a failover.
Okay. Well, that's all I have for questions. Thank you very much for joining us, Eric.
Thank you, Betty.